We are journeying through John, and today we have come to John chapter 1, verse 29, and John chapter 1 and verse 36. And I am so glad that you are a part of our worship today. As Matthew has read out of his spiffy new Bible, well, that's a nice Bible, Matthew. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I don't have to remind very often a very intelligent audience like this that we live in a broken world. And virus, well, the word virus is pretty much of a dirty word. You really stop and think about it. As a matter of fact, I want you to think about those huge, massive ships. And there's one person on that ship, and they get a virus. And that virus is passed to the next person, and the next person. And before you know it, you have a ship full of people who have to be brought back to port. And they have to take all of those people off. And they begin to clean that ship because it is full of a virus that is so contagious that you just want to get off that ship. Well, the reason I brought that up is because of the virus of sin. The virus of sin is everywhere in our culture. It is all over the place. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Be alert, be aware, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour." And he does it through the word sin. And so we have to be alert. We have to be on guard constantly, because sin is a power that controls people. Today you hear frequently the word addiction. And that word addiction is there for a purpose, because it begins to control the life of the person who is under the spell of whatever it is that controls their life. For some people, it is alcohol, and they can't wait to get their next drink. For some people, it is prescription drugs, which allows them to do it under the guise of legality. For others, it is male and female pornography that controls their life. For others, and the list is innumerable, and it continues on and on and on. It's a power that controls. And I want to give you a little saying today that has influenced my life for time and eternity, and it's something that you can take with you. Sin, it will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay, because it dominates and controls life. Sin is a cancer. There's not a person in this room whose family or you yourself hasn't been influenced or affected by this terrible word. I hate to bring it up in mixed company. I hate to bring it up in front of you today. Sin is a cancer, and it begins to eat away at a person's life and truly takes them farther than they want to go. And it will keep them longer than they want to stay. And it will cost them more than they ever want to pay. And so, having said that, I suggest to us today that we need a greater power. And that power is what we read about in John chapter 1. How do we deal with the virus of sin that controls so many lives today? Did you know 98 times in one book, the book of John, John mentions one subject recorded by Jesus, and that subject is faith? 98 times in 21 chapters. As we go to the end of the book, we learn what the book is about. Sometimes you go to the end to learn about the beginning, and that's really true of John 20, 30, and 31. "Truly did Jesus many of the signs which are not written in this book," watch this, "but these are written that you might" what? "That you might believe," that you might have faith in and through Jesus Christ. And that believing in Him, you could have life through His name. That's the thesis of the book. And so what John does in verse 123, you have John, who is a voice. And John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John was a messenger. John was one who was going to say, I'm going to tell you about somebody who's much greater than the person you're looking at. I'm going to tell you eventually about the Lamb of God that we read about in John 1 and verse 29. And what John is going to do is he's going to point people to Jesus. And you know, that is really our mission today. We're constantly supposed to point people to Jesus, point people to the rabbi. Not a guy that wears a certain uniform and has a unusual looking collar. Not that kind of rabbi, but to the teacher, Jesus Christ. We're going to point people to the Messiah, which means the anointed one. We're going to point people to the King. Not the King of England or some monarch somewhere, but about the King Jesus. And so that's what our lives are supposed to be full of and filled with. Where you work, you need to be pointing people to Jesus where you work. Where you go to school, you need to be pointing people to Jesus. Where you have recreation, you need to be pointing people to Jesus. That is our mission. That is what John the Baptizer was doing. And here's how he referred to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God. I want you to think about that with me for a moment. The Lamb. In John 1:29 and in John 1:36, just a few verses later, he says the very same thing. Behold, the Lamb of God. What's so special about the Lamb? Well, the Lamb, as you look in biblical history, all the way back to Exodus chapter 12, if you go back there, you can read a little bit of the history of the Lamb and the purpose of the Lamb and what the Israelites were supposed to do with the Lamb. And I'm just going to do a little synopsis of that and talk to you about the Passover and the Exodus and the blood of the Lamb and how if it was put on those doorposts, there's that song that we sing sometimes, when I see the blood, when I see the blood. There's something significant and special about the blood in the Old Covenant and how that blood of the Old Covenant pointed us to the New Covenant. And the New Covenant tells us about the blood of the Lamb, and that would be in the personage of somebody by the name of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Lamb back in Exodus chapter 12 enabled purification and cleansing to take place. What about the purpose of the Lamb in 2019? As we point to Jesus, what is the purpose of Jesus? Jesus too, through His sacrifice, was to allow us, enabling the opportunity for us to experience purification and cleansing after a while, because what did we say earlier? We deal with the virus of sin. And that sin penetrates and permeates our lives. And therefore we need the blood of the Lamb to come in and take care of our sin problem. Isaiah 53 was written 750 years before the Lamb actually came into our world. And Isaiah 53, if you go back there in your Bibles and you look with me at a chapter of tremendous prophecy, verse 7 is very specific. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led, watch this, as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You can see the unfolding of that prophecy in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can see Jesus when he stood before Pilate and those other government leaders. And they would accuse him and ask him, and he would really be silent most of the time. Sometimes he would say, it is as you say. It is as you say. It is as you say. But here was the Lamb that was on its way to literally be slaughtered. Now, if anybody in this room is familiar with Kirby and Poe, you know that they have a specific role when you take a certain animal there. You're going to have to pay the kill bill. And as you pay the kill bill, you know that they're going to dress and they're going to take care of and wrap that fresh meat where you can eventually freeze it and use it later. It goes there for one purpose, to be slaughtered, to be killed. Jesus came for one purpose. According to this prophet, 750 years before it happened, he came to be slaughtered. And if you read about his scourging, and if you read about his crucifixion, that's exactly what happened to Jesus. I mean, those are graphic terms. That's speaking very open and frank in the discussion. But that's exactly what happened to Jesus. And if you go to the end of the Bible, like Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 and other places in the Revelation, but this one stands out, I think, above most of the others. We read words like this. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. What's it about? It's about the sacrifice of the Lamb. It's about what the Lamb has done for us. No wonder John would record, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." You see, the Lamb is really about one word, and that word is sacrifice. And we read about that really early in the Scriptures. You remember the account in Genesis 22, where it says Abraham got up really early and he was going to, with his son, Isaac, he was going to make a sacrifice. We saw the great faith of Abraham as his son was on the altar, the sacrifice. And we saw Abraham draw back that sword. And the boy said, "Where's the sacrifice?" "God will provide." And there was that ram in the thicket. God provided the sacrifice. And such is true as we fast forward, as this became a foreshadow of what was to take place at the cross. As we fast forward many, many centuries and nearly 6,000 years, here's the Lamb. Here's the Lamb. Here's the Lamb. And what's interesting to note, what is recorded in John 1 and verse 29 and verse 36. Watch this. "Behold the Lamb of God." Now watch this. "Who takes away the sin of the world." How's he going to take away the sin of the world? When he sacrifices himself on the altar. That's how. The altar of the cross. Don't you have to believe that John, who was 92% unique to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in his perspective of Jesus as the Lamb, had to know that in the future, that's what he was talking about in John 1, 29 and verse 36. The Lamb of God, which incidentally says, is going to take away the sin of the world. And so we have that one word, sacrifice. It's the Lamb, and it's Jesus who gives us hope in a world that seems so hopeless and hapless and helpless. In a world where we see so many catastrophes. In a world where we see so many broken hearts and broken lives. Our world is broken. But this Lamb gives us the H word. The four-letter word that we can take home with us this afternoon and rest with. Jesus gives hope. That sacrificial Lamb. And so it is incumbent upon us to do one thing. Follow the Lamb. Follow the Lamb. Follow the Lamb. How do we do that? I want to suggest to us that there is a cost to follow the Lamb. We know, and we're coming up on this, the Declaration of Independence, we're coming up on this, July the 4th, 1776, we know that this country is here because of folk who paid a price. And as Memorial Day has passed, but we don't forget, some of us in this very room have been touched with the effect of war. We've seen it up close. We have stories of some of our comrades who could not handle war, and they went 25 feet outside of their bunker and took their own life. I'm telling you today, there is always a cost. Freedom is never free. We have to understand and learn that. And so it is spiritually, that freedom is never free. It cost Jesus his life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as followers and disciples of Christ, and as people we want to follow the Lamb, it will cost you something to follow Jesus. And so my question to us is, from the pulpit to the pew, what sacrifice have you made to follow the Lamb? Let's turn to our final scripture, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Will you follow there with me in your Bibles? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I really believe here in Romans chapter 12, as we get through the theological information that Paul gave to the church at Rome, he begins to tell them in verse chapters 12 through 16 how to live for the sacrifice. How to live for the sacrifice. And he tells us something in verses 1 and 2 that challenges the hearts and lives of every person and every family and every couple in this room. Here's what he says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice like the lamb was in Exodus chapter 12, but a living sacrifice. Holy, set apart, acceptable to God, not men, which is your reasonable service. Now here's the challenge we face because we live in it. Do not be conformed to this world. That's the challenge this morning. If we're going to follow the Lamb, we cannot be so affected by the world that we lose our effect upon the world. Do not be conformed to the world, he says. But how do you do that? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Help your mind to offer constant renewal, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a D word. And the D word this morning is, we are living lives of devotion. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, that's what they did. They devoted themselves to God. I must devote myself to God. If I'm going to follow the Lamb, and there's the challenge therein. This morning, as we get ready to sing our song of encouragement and inspiration and a song of hope, I hope that your choice will be to follow the Lamb, that you will devote your life to being a Lamb follower, that you will understand the price that was paid for you, the price that was paid for us, and the cost it's going to cost us to not be like the world. Maybe there's somebody in this room who says, you know what, I've thought about following the Lamb, and today I want to make the decision to follow the Lamb. I want to be a Christian today. I'm willing today to say I truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that. And I will repent of my sins. I'll change the direction of my life. And I'm going to confess with my mouth, from my heart, and with my lips, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then I'm going to say, where's the water? Because I want to reach the blood of Jesus today. I want to follow the Lamb. It may be there was a time in your life that you began to follow the Lamb, but you've been sidetracked by the world, all of its allurements. Get back to the Lamb. Follow Jesus. Jason, as we stand and sing our song.